A long time ago, someone shared with me an announcement that was literally written in the Episcopal leaflet for the little Episcopal church in a very small town. This was a small Episcopal church that did not have the benefit of a communications director like we do, nor did it have anyone editing the leaflets. It was also well before the age of audio files for sermons or videos and online content. The announcement read literally, "Barbara remains homebound and requests visitors. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests copies of the rector's sermons." I really don't want to put you to sleep on this beautiful and snowy morning, but I do want to expand upon this succinct and memorable and even life-giving teaching from Jesus that we know is the summary of the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and mind and soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's easy enough to memorize. It's short enough just to be obvious what it means. But this summary of the law is wonderfully and deceptively simple. For love is a great mystery that we can ponder all the days of our lives. I remember vividly when our daughter, Adeline, entered into elementary school, and she was learning math, and she was beginning to think spatially, and she was and is brilliant, of course. And in my aspirations to be the greatest dad in the history of the universe, I decided that we should tell each other that we love one another in a unique way. I would say to her, "Adeline, I love you always." And she would say to me, "Daddy, I love you always." And then we shortened that, and I would say "always," and she would say "always." She would say "always," and I would say "always." I love thinking about how love relates to the whole of time. How love exceeds just anything that we can imagine or count or foresee. And that it has to do with the mystery of time. As St. Paul puts it in his great poem about love in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. And theologically, love never ends. In 1969, Rollo May, the great existential philosopher, wrote a wonderful, it's dated, but a wonderful book called Love and Will. I happen to have an appreciation for existential philosophers. If you don't, just bear with me just a moment. It won't last long. But in this book, he talks about that love is related to the will. In the old sermon, it's not just our feelings. It includes our feelings, but it's more than just feelings. It relates to the will, the whole of who we are, mind, body, soul, all that's within us. May, in that sense, sounds a lot like Jesus, at least in this regard, that we love God, we love our neighbor, we love ourselves with the whole of who we are, our mind, our body, our soul, all that's within us. What May was really trying to do, though, in 1969, and he would do it even more so if he were writing today, is resist what he called the temptation of quick fixes that are always supplied by technology and always supplied by the temptation of a high, some momentary release from the pain and anxiety of existence. And that high could be, May wrote, narcotic, romantic, or even spiritual. Something that dupes us into thinking that just this, if we get just this right, it fixes everything and is this moment of absolute and pure love. Instead, May argues that no, love is for it to be authentic. Love is so much more than a momentary, passing, fleeting high. It sticks with us through the long haul of relationships, that is, through the long haul of the passage of time, all of life's joys and sorrows. And in this way, May is sounds awfully similar to our collect for the day, the first prayer that we prayed that echoes as well 1 Corinthians 13, that God increases in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity. Love has something to do with faith, and faith always has something to do with the ability to see below the surfaces of the present moment, to see and trust and even experience what is unseen. And love always has something to do with time, which is why that pairing with hope is so beautiful, essential, and even practical. Love and hope always come together. And like siblings, they urge us to look beyond the present moment. The present moment could be a moment of great joy or of great sorrow. The present moment could be a moment like this in our world of great injustices and of wars. It's real, but it's not all that there is. And the promise of love is to keep going, to be propelled forward by hope to the next day. What we see is not all there is. And for this reason, the psalmist says, and I love this verse, weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. So love is rightly paired always with hope, pulling us forward to the next day, pulling us forward to the horizon. And that's why love is deceptively simple. Love is related to faith and related to hope and always related to time. As Paul puts it, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I do want to end, though, with one very practical bit of advice. C.S. Lewis, the great Anglican or Episcopalian, who wrote the Narnia series, once criticized a charitable person or a loving person. And he said about this person, who was no doubt a church person, and I'm certain was a faithful member of the Church of England, the church that Lewis belonged to and loved. Lewis wrote, "He lived for others. And you could tell who the others were by their hunted look." Thinking that we are loving is sometimes a great mistake. Just because we're trying to be loving, trying as hard as we can, doesn't mean that we actually are. Love is a two-way street. Love moves in both directions. It's impossible for a person or a community or a family or any group to give love without receiving it. For love is always a relationship. All love is collaborative. And even when we do get it right, and sometimes we do, sometimes we really are loving, but even when we do get it right, it's essential to remember that love is always and only made possible by God's presence in that very moment, in that loving act, in that loving thought. It's always God who makes it possible. And that's why that opening collect of the day is not only lovely, but true. It is God and God alone who increases in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity.